interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day, May kickoff edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. For the next 2 hours, Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D with you. Taking you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Today, you get to know the guest right out of the chute. We've got one per hour in our next segment. Steve Kuyler, BasketballInsiders.com, giving you all the scoop on the NBA playoffs. We're into the conference semis. Who's standing out? Who continues to whine? Hint, it's Houston. And can anybody challenge Golden State? That plus his thoughts on David Griffin and the rebuilding New Orleans Pelicans. Steve Kuyler with us at 4:15. And clap your hands, everybody. Tommy Moffitt, LSU strength and conditioning guru on the football side, will be with us at 5:30. And he's got mad love for our Acadiana area, if for no other reason than his son applied his trade at LSU Eunice for Coach Jeff Willis. So Steve Kuyler in this hour, Tommy Moffitt in hour number two, and out of the gate, I've got three the hard way. Three big topics, two of them on a local level, one a little more expansive and certainly hilarious. You want to jump in? We got room in today's opening segment. 706-0111. Topic numero uno, let's get to LSU baseball. And this is all about the three H's. As LSU is set to take on Ole Miss Friday through Sunday this weekend at the Box. Remember, don't have a midweek game. And so they get to rest up a little bit. But the first H is Cole Henry. He's still not available. He's still not ready. Pulmonary saying today he will not be for this weekend set against the Rebels. So no Cole Henry on the mound. Let's get to the second H. Mikhail Hilliard, he's not only available, he's now slotted as your Friday starter. It would be very intriguing to go back and count the number of permutations, right, that LSU baseball has had for its weekend starters. They haven't gone the same, it feels like, for three straight series, and I don't know how long. But Mikhail Hilliard will get the pill to start things off this Friday against Ole Miss. Your third H is Zach Hess. The move they wanted to make last week, it's going down. Zach Hess going to the bullpen. And as Hunt Palmer, heck, that's a fourth H, if you will, as Hunt suggested last Thursday, this isn't exactly a demotion, and it's definitely not something that they're dictating to the kid. They brought him in, they've discussed it, and according to what Maneri told reporters in Baton Rouge today, Hess acknowledged that his long-term future, let's read into that, his pro livelihood depends on his ability to sustain as a relief pitcher. And so they're going to transition him into that role now. Again, LSU fans that'll want to play the I told you so game, they've been saying this for the better part of two seasons now, you're getting exactly what you want. My only real question at this juncture, do they have enough? Do they have enough arms, enough healthy arms, to persist through the rest of this season and, more importantly, in about 3 weeks, we're going to be deposited, all of us, there's that word, into the SEC tournament. Maneri and LSU always take that pretty darn seriously, you'll recall. Do they have the arms, the starting arms, to get into that, to get through that? Ditto for regional supers, and everybody hopes, Omaha, we're going to find out. Cole Henry's still on the shelf. I actually think that might be a good thing. Make sure he is right for all the postseason play I just discussed. As far as Jaden Hill, no idea. Couldn't even begin to tell you. I know there's been discussion about some of the others maybe coming back around. Time will tell. But this weekend, it'll be Hilliard, Walker, Marceau. Can LSU break out of the lose Friday, or at least lose game one? win games 2 and 3, slump. I'm not sure if you call it a slump. If you win 2 out of every 3, you win 20 games in the SEC. Time will tell. But as far as the three H's go, Hess to the bullpen. Hilliard starts Friday. Henry not available this weekend. Your second big storyline, this one also local. The Saints have decided not to pick up a fifth-year option on cornerback Eli Apple. Came over in the middle of last year for the New York Giants. And what does that mean? It means this is his last year, presumably, as a New Orleans Saint. Apple will be a free agent at the end of this season, and that makes you wonder. Speaking of who's left, what's in the cupboard? Marshawn Lattimore, a potential all-pro caliber player, year in, year out, you would imagine entering the prime of his career. But after that, wow, who's going to be on the roster? Who are they going to want on the roster? Who's going to be worth a hill of beans after this season? The grouping would be P.J. Williams, Ken Crowley, Patrick Robinson. You tell me, that's not a group that inspires a ton of confidence. I'm not suggesting Apple is the long-term solution. Obviously, Payton, Ireland, Loomis, they don't think so either. But this is where a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson might just come in. Can he help eat away at some of those subset package cornerback minutes? You would hope so, drafting him where the Saints did on Friday. Or I guess actually on Saturday. But still, without Eli Apple, the Saints are going to be Marshawn Lattimore and a whole bunch of unproven. That tells me that cornerback is going to be maybe the A1 position of need moving forward. College ranks, you get to recruit. In the pros, you get free agency, trades, and the draft. Draft, sayonara. See you tomorrow. You don't get that for about another 361 days. Free agency, kind of shot their wad there. Unless they could figure out a trade, and they don't need it necessarily for this year, unless injury strikes, they're going to have to find a different way to revamp their group on an island after this highly anticipated 2019 season. Your third and final storyline, have to get this out there early, if for no other reason than it inspires just a tremendous series of jokes. According to Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, there is an NC2A gambling working group. And this group is set to propose the first ever standardized national player availability report for college athletics. There were some fairly big words there. There were a lot of words. Quickly, let me break down what it means for you. It means that later this month, the proposal is a pilot program, and I'm not joking, that will have coaches, think about this from a football perspective, week in, week out, list players' availability as 1, available, 2, possible, or 3, unavailable. There is now gambling on college athletics, and the gambling public apparently has a right to know if Nick Saban's guys are available. If you thought that the hoodie, Bill Belichick, had some hilarious player availability reports, wait until Nick Saban gets his hands on that. Or, as has been suggested all over social media, I'm not the only clever guy out there. Knew that I wasn't, but it was confirmed again today. Imagine what's going to happen when Les Miles in Lawrence, Kansas, is asked to submit his weekly report. Coach, are your guys available? Are they unavailable? Are they possible? As Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, SI.com mentioned, nicked would be a word that Les may describe some of his guys with. Of course, there are some others, as Deli reminded, that Les used as well. A minor nick, a bone bruise. Capable, lower extremity, coming along nicely, had a little accident, disadvantaged, soft tissue issue, and operating with a brace. So here's the thought that I'll leave you with in our opening segment. It's hilarious. I get what they're trying to do. They want transparency for people that are throwing shekels down on college sports. But imagine a ballot. Imagine you're stepping inside, you're closing the curtain, and you're voting. Les Miles, I would think, is going to opt to use that write-in vote for this a ton. And Dellinger just listed some of the places he might go. I get why they're doing this, but it could just backfire in their face tremendously. Saban, Miles, I want to see some of these injury reports. They're bound to be absolutely hilarious, and they're bound to be very, very ambiguous. All right, proud announcement as we head into a break. We would like to welcome a new client aboard at Bumper to Bumper Sports in Relief Windows. They're a locally owned company in South Louisiana with a growing footprint, helping people and businesses throughout Acadiana. When you think wood windows, doors, and siding, think Relief Windows. They offer guaranteed satisfaction and a lifetime warranty. You'll be hearing more in the days and weeks to come about our growing partnership with Relief Windows. For now, just know they represent integrity in business, and they're your go-to resource when it comes to wood windows, doors, and siding. Learn more. Visit the website, ReliefWindows.com. That's ReliefWindows.com. Hitting our first break. On the other side, Steve Kuyler breaking down NBA basketball playoffs. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Get in on the conversation. Call on the game hotline. 706-0111. 706-0111.
How are we handling it? Get ready for game three. You know what I mean? Like, we going back home, and we understand that's all we need to worry about right now is game three. You know, so get some rest, get back home, and get in front of our crowd and get out there and play game three.
CP3, he and the Rockets don't want to go down 0-3. We'll talk that series and more. Welcome back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live and bringing you home on 103.7 The Game. Quickly, let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Great to bring back Steve Kuyler. Covers the NBA and basketball at large for BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, welcome back in. How are you today?
I am well, my man. How about you?
I'm doing very well. We've heard some of the whining, if you will, pre-series from the Houston Rockets. I think some of the data and the stats, show that actually the calls are maybe going a little more in their favor through two games, and yet they're down 2-0. What do we make of it all?
Not a whole lot. I mean, the complaining, I think there's way too much of that in basketball these days. But, you know, this is not a new thing. Phil Jackson used to complain to the media constantly about how the Bulls were treated or the Lakers were treated. You know, trying to manipulate the storyline in your favor is just kind of part of the process. Maybe it gets you a call the other way. Maybe it gets the league to look at things a little tighter. Maybe they look at your data and there's a corrective action that takes place. But, you know, a lot of it is just noise. It's just kind of the process of the playoffs. But in terms of being down 2-0, this is what you're supposed to do. Good teams win home playoff games. Until you win one on the road, it's not a series. And the Golden State Warriors did exactly what they were supposed to do, is win those first two. I think it's pretty promising how close Houston was in both games. I mean, there were moments where it was 2-3, even, 2-3, even. You know, Houston's right there. And the one thing about road games versus home games, you typically see your role players play better at home. Stars play like stars everywhere. That's why they're stars. But those guys that give you 6 points in a road game usually give you 12 in a home game. And when you're 2 or 3 points away from being able to win a game, that's how these things swing. And I think when you look at, say, Milwaukee, what was the difference between game one and game two? The role players showed up and played really well. They had 6 guys in double figures. So I think that will be true with Houston. I think once Houston gets back into the friendly confines, that's where you see Clint Capella become the double-double guy again. That's when Dwayne House gives you those 2 or 3 timely threes. You know, that's where, you know, Eric Gordon probably gets hot again. So there are some things I think that always play out when those role players come down to earth on the road or rise up when they get home. That's where the series really lies. You know, the first three are generally a constant. It's the next three that get it done.
Steve, despite being down 2-0, does Houston feel better positioned to knock off Golden State this year than last?
Well, I think you'd love to have split the series. You go 1-1, you feel real good. You go down, you know, 0-2, that's a different look. And especially when you consider that, you know, this thing's been physical and emotional and chippy, and dudes are falling on the floor, and James Harden gets his eye scratched, and Steph Curry rolls. And, you know, you don't want to see these two teams basically beat each other to death and not have anything left. when it comes time for the finals. So it's unfortunate because I think the two best series in either conference are being played in the semifinals. You'd rather see it in the conference finals or the NBA finals. But I think if you're the Houston Rockets, you have to like a lot of the things you did, because I wouldn't say they necessarily played well. You know, Clint Capella has not played well in this series, and they've been right there. You know, if he plays well in game three and game four, you have to like your odds.
Talking with Steve Kuyler, you can and should follow him on Twitter, at Steve Kuyler NBA. And looking at the other team that I guess you would say is favored, or maybe the team that's higher seed in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets, they're up 1-0 on Portland. Is it fair to lump them in with the Milwaukees of the world and say this is another blue-collar type of franchise?
A little bit. I think the two things about the Denver Nuggets, really young, inexperienced. I mean, they've got Paul Millsap, who's been around the block a little bit, but their core guys, you know, this is really a lot of their second time getting into the postseason. You know, they don't know what they don't know yet, but that's a good thing. When you're as good as Denver has been all year and you've got a transcendent player in Nikola Jokic, you've got a lot of great things going for you, and this is going to be invaluable experience, whether it leads to a finals appearance or not. They're a young and up-and-coming team, so this is where you get what you got kind of in the San Antonio series, where one game they look great, and the next game you're like, wow, these guys aren't going to go very far. And then you get into Portland, and then they just steamroll Portland. You're like, okay, now maybe I can believe in Denver. I don't think Denver's as good as their best day, but I don't think they're as bad as their worst day. They're somewhere in the middle, but they've got to get experience to get over the hump. And the fact that they've been this good bodes really well for the franchise.
Hey, I'm glad you mentioned San Antonio, Steve. Before we leave the Western Conference, they bowed out in round one. I always thought their transition away from kind of the Tony Parker, Ginobili, and especially the Tim Duncan era was fairly seamless. Has their window kind of quickly closed on them?
You know, their window's different. You know, DeMar DeRozan wasn't quite what they had hoped he'd be. But look, when you've got to give up a Kawhi Leonard because the relationship went toxic, to get back anything was a win. To get back a player of DeMar DeRozan's caliber, I think, is as good a return as you can get, especially for a guy that's probably going to walk away in free agency. But they've got young guys. Their young guys are their future. And, you know, whether it's Dejounte Murray, who's coming back from a knee injury, I think we've seen already some of their young guys coming into their own. They're going to get another one in the draft. But they still have LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, and you still have Greg Popovich. So I think as long as you've got Greg Popovich and five dudes who can dribble the basketball, I think you've got a chance. And I think the Spurs just keep proving that what they do is better than you are. And they get everybody to buy in and everybody to believe, and they grab a bunch of dudes you've never heard of and turn them into players. And, you know, that's who the Spurs have been for four decades. I think it's now, you know, 47 seasons, 48 seasons in the NBA, and they've missed the playoffs four times in four decades.
Wow.
It's not just Greg Popovich. You know, they just keep doing it year after year after year, and the fact that everybody counted them out this year and they still made the postseason and went to seven games, I mean, it tells you everything you need to know about how good they are.
We'll feed you a one-timer from the Eastern Conference semifinals. Both of those series tied at one. Which team that had to travel to open, Boston or Philly, do you like to maybe pull a relative upset over either Milwaukee or Toronto?
You know, I love the Milwaukee Bucks coming into this. I thought they had everything you'd want. They had great offense, great three-point shooting, incredible defense, a transcendent star in Giannis to lead the way, great star-level support guys that were playing great. I just felt like they were the team that was going to get it done. And then this Boston Celtics team showed up and have gone 5-0 in the playoffs. And they've looked like the team everybody thought they'd be in training camp. You know, all of the dysfunction that was surrounding them all year has gone away. You know, they seem to like each other and they're playing well. I mean, the game, you know, the game last night, we'll call that what it is, you know, better team won. But this Boston Celtics team looks like the team that can get it done. We'll see. You know, I think they've got the depth. I think they've got the X factor. You know, you look at the way Al Horford has played in the postseason. You look at the way that Kyrie Irving can play when it matters. You look at just kind of some of the support guys. There's a lot there. So to me, I think if there's one team that could really pull the upset, it's probably Boston. But the other part about Philadelphia is if Philadelphia can ever figure out how to get all four of their guys, the core four, as they call them, if they can get them all productive in a game, they may be the best team in basketball. So, but they haven't figured out a way to do that yet. But we've seen glimpses of how good Philadelphia could be. So I think both of them have a good chance. But if I was betting, I'd bet on the Boston Celtics.
Strong statements. All right, we're finishing up with Steve Kuyler, basketballinsiders.com. I think that locally as well as nationwide, people have lauded the New Orleans Pelicans bringing in David Griffin. I'll ask you this, Steve. Why is it a big deal that he's been able to lure away the Phoenix Suns training staff? Everybody across the country seems to say, hey, this is a big deal. You've got more insight than most. Why is it a big deal?
Well, one, Phoenix has been able to manage long-term durability better than almost anybody. When you think about, you know, the Dallas Mavericks give up Steve Nash. They give up Steve Nash because he had a neck injury, and they felt like in 2-3 years he wouldn't be able to play. The Phoenix Suns turned him into a two-time All-Star, and he was as durable as just about anybody until he got to the Lakers. So, you know, they have a long track record of being able to be very proactive on the injury front or turning around guys that maybe have injury issues. And you know as well as anybody, I've worried about stepping on the floor in New Orleans myself and tearing my knee because it seems like everybody who gets on that court gets hurt. So, you know, making this statement, and they're giving a that's a good financial package they're giving up to lure him away from Phoenix. So it's a big deal because organizationally they've really struggled to keep their players healthy. I think that's been the number one problem in New Orleans for a while. If you think about how many games Anthony Davis has missed, how many games Jrue Holiday has missed, how many games Solomon Hill has missed. You know, when you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on players, they've got to be able to play for you. And in the Western Conference, you can't spot teams 10 games of your best player being out for something that's preventable because you don't have the right guys. So an incredible move by them, an incredible hire. Look, I think David Griffin's going to stabilize that team, and it would not shock me if he gets Anthony Davis to commit there long term.
Wow. Even stronger statement. Steve Kuyler, great to have you on 103.7 The Game. Hey, I love texting back and forth off the air. Sometimes you can't do the show because you're coaching your son's team. So I'll ask you this. Are you a Helen and Brimstone type of coach breathing fire, or are you just a player's coach?
I am not a player's coach. I'm channeling my inner Stan Van Gundy. My voice has changed quite a bit over the last couple of years, but it's great. I mean, I have incredible kids. They're 11, 12, and 13, 6th and 7th grade. They give me their heart. You know, they never shy away from the moment. They love to train. They love basketball. I literally have to turn the lights off in the gym to get them out. They'll go anywhere and play anybody, and they do not care about the score at the end of the day. I think I brood over the wins and losses way more than they do, but I've got great kids, and it's probably, I say this, it's probably the most rewarding and frustrating thing I've ever done in my life, kind of like herding cats with a water hose, but I wouldn't trade it. It's been an amazing experience.
Steve, you really are the best. Go get your Stan Van on. Hope to talk soon.
Anytime, my friend.
That's fantastic. That reference there, we might run that back. We got to hit a break. On the other side, your sink or swim question of the day, and it's Monday Night Football related. All over the place on a hump day. How else would you have it? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
I say this, it's probably the most rewarding and frustrating thing I've ever done in my life, kind of like herding cats with a water hose, but I wouldn't trade it. It's been an amazing experience.
Unbelievable. Yes, we will talk Monday Night Football. That's why the music, but Steve Kuyler herding cats with a water hose. And that's not even the craziest thing he just said, or was it? Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Take the Monday Night Football thing and push it down the line, because the other thing Steve Kuyler said, the much more relevant thing to sports, to the New Orleans Pelicans, I got to play that back. Is this even crazier than the whole water hose and the cats thing?
Look, I think David Griffin's going to stabilize that team, and it would not shock me if he gets Anthony Davis to commit there long term.
What? That blew my mind. I've gotten three texts in that break alone about what Steve Kuyler just said. He does a tremendous job, by the way. BasketballInsiders.com. And if you think he ain't on the inside, how about that explanation of why the Phoenix Suns training staff has been so transcendent in the NBA? Really good example, by the way, of Steve Nash. Somebody who's, I mean, look, anytime you give up an all-star, as the Mavs did, he's either past his prime or you're worried about injury, or maybe you get Munson out in the middle of nowhere, like the San Antonio Spurs did with Kawhi Leonard. It was obviously because of injury with Steve Nash, and he had one heck of a productive run with the Phoenix Suns there for a while. But an explanation of the fact that even when he steps foot in the Big Blenda, he fears for his ankles just a little bit. So a staff that knows how to take care of somebody and actually might be among the absolute best in the association, that's a big deal. But what he said there, Steve Kuyler, on Anthony Davis, I was not expecting that. I know that it was a talking point for David Griffin about a week and a half ago when he was introduced to the media in New Orleans. I remember that, and I also remember just kind of brushing it aside. Yeah, no big deal. Kind of what you have to say. Even last week, when a good friend of the program, Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, Times Picayune, when he joined us, it didn't seem like he thought it was really in the making. Now, in fairness, what Steve just said is, it wouldn't shock me if. All right, so maybe it's not Lloyd Christmas, Dumb and Dumber, One in a Million talk, but it wasn't exactly Steve Kuyler saying, this is going to happen, or I think this is going to happen. He said, I wouldn't be shocked if it did happen. That's still a change in tune from what I was expecting. How about you? 706-0111. Phone lines wide open for the better part of the next hour. We're going to have Tommy Moffitt, LSU strength and conditioning guru, with us at 5:30. Also Clay's dad. We'll talk to him about that. Aaron's dad, too. So Tommy Moffitt with us at 5:30. Between now and then, we got time for your phone calls. You can react to the possibility, maybe you would even say the growing possibility, of AD staying in New Orleans. You can also react to the question on the other side of the music. Exciting and new. This morning, the mothership announced their Monday Night Football broadcast team. A lot of familiar faces and voices. One that's noticeably absent because he's now playing for the Dallas Cowboys. It will be Joe Tessitore along with Booger McFarland in the booth. And so your Boogermobile, done. Had 1 year. They rushed it into production. It was innovative. It wasn't great for my 2 cents. But Booger's going to make the move from his Mobiltron out in the elements into the booth. And so out goes Jason Witten. In comes former LSU Tiger Booger McFarland. So Tessitore, McFarland in the booth. Lisa Salters has re-upped as your sideline reporter. And you'll have a new officiating analyst in John Perry. So your sink or swim question of the day, armed with that knowledge, are you pleased with the new MNF broadcast team? Clint, you've got honors.
I'm swimming here. I'm swimming like the English Channel here because it's one of the things that we talked about a while back when Jason Witten announced that he was coming out of retirement to play for the Dallas Cowboys. One of my biggest complaints was it's the fact that you had technically a four-man booth, if I'm not mistaken. You had three guys up there, then Booger in his Boogermobile, blocking people's view, live at football games. I'm just more of a fan of it being kind of a setup the way it is right now. I like the way it is, and I think that's probably the smartest thing that the Four Letter Network has done in a good while.
I think it's less cluttered than last year, and I also think it will be better than last year. But I'm not sure yet about Booger McFarland as a color analyst in the booth week in, week out. He'll be better than Jason Witten. He'll provide a lot more actual insight. I think he'll be a lot more fluid and loose doing it. A lot of times, Witten felt too robotic to me, but this guy's not tried and true in that role. I'm not doubting his ability. He might be able to adjust on the fly. I'm not doubting it, but I am going to sink here because if you're Monday Night Football and you know that one of your chief competitors, CBS, is likely to throw $10 million a year at the feet of Tony Romo to keep him around, at least that's been the demand, and I have not yet seen Tony Romo exit stage left as an employee of CBS. If you know that Nance and Romo are attempting to become the gold standard, they're doing what they do on Sunday afternoons, and you got to play keep up with the Joneses, I think you have to unload the Brinks truck to a degree as well, don't you? What they're doing is elevating somebody. What they're doing is giving somebody who's a little green in that area a chance, and I'm all for that. Otherwise, a guy like me would never have a show like this. Somebody gave me a chance 4 years ago. I get it. Everybody has to eventually break in and get their chance. But why aren't they going and try to poach somebody? Why aren't they, as the only game in town on Monday, at least Romo and Nance have competition throughout the day and then later that night, you're the only game in town across the country on a Monday. And you're not going out to try and lure away whoever the heck it may be. I'm not telling you that it's Chris Collinsworth. I'm not telling you that it's anybody from the college ranks, but the fact that they're not trying to, I'll bring you back to what Sharif Eishak, WDSU in New Orleans, said yesterday. I asked him, and I see a parallel here. I'll explain it. I asked Sharif if people in the city in New Orleans were thrilled or buzzing about the David Griffin hire. And he said, yeah, because they didn't do same old, and promote from within. Basically saying they didn't just elevate Danny Ferry. I feel like that's kind of what Monday Night Football and the mothership are doing here. Yeah, sure. We got a guy in house. He's gaining in popularity, and he did a pretty good job the times I had a chance to watch as one of their booth analysts for the NFL draft. I'm a little more of an NFL Network guy for that, but I caught part of it on the four-letter network. They are just kind of promoting from within. They are kind of doing something that I know we're from Louisiana and we're a booger-loving state. Take that as it's meant. But I think nationwide, this is seen as, okay, just elevating from within and maybe not elevating the product. I'm just saying. So, yes, I think it'll be better than last year. To Clint's point, it's definitely going to have more clarity and less muddled voices than last year. They also won't be blocking people's views in the stadium. Good point from CD as well. But I'm not sure this is the best they can do. So I am at least relatively sinking here. To say that I'm pleased would be a little bit of a lie. Clint, am I hating?
I don't think you're hating. I think you definitely bring up a lot of valid points. But my biggest thing is Booger McFarland, I think he has a chance to really come into his zone here, largely because of the fact of it being less cluttered. And also, he's able to get a word in edgewise. When he kind of popped in through the Boogermobile, he only had like 10, 15 seconds to get something in before the next play happened.
And I'm speaking from firsthand experience here. I have called football games in the elements, right? So not in the press box, outside. I've been there, done that. And unlike Booger, I was at least stationary. So he's been in the elements. He's been mobile. I can only imagine that it would be a little more difficult trying to formulate some of my thoughts in that position. So I'm doing my best to empathize with Boog here. I just don't know that this is the best that they could do. I've laid out this topic for you. I've given you an incredible NC2A gaming topic. Steve Kuyler just came on the program, a national reporter for the NBA, and said he wouldn't be shocked if Anthony Davis sticks around in New Orleans. I don't know what else I could do for you. You got to do something for me. Call. Let's have a talk on the other side of this break. 706-0111. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Show. This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Right back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports. Benny Clint bringing you home on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open for you, 706-0111. We'll have Tommy Moffitt aboard talking LSU spring football and looking ahead to summer workouts? Plus, what does he think of Derek Stingley Jr. now that he's had him in his ranks? That interview coming up at 5:30. Between now and then, a few other topics that I want to get to today, including one, Clint, that, if I'm being honest, I thought about saving it for Sink or Swim. I'll go ahead and unholster this one right now. It came out not long after our show yesterday. Reggie Bush, former New Orleans Saint, and more apropos to this story, USC Trojan, told a sports columnist at the LA Times, if USC struggles this year, he and Matt Leinart will recruit, it's the exact word he used, hold your breath here, Urban Meyer to replace Clay Helton as USC's coach in 2020. We'll definitely be recruiting him, Bush said. What makes you think we won't be recruiters? Nothing, Bush told the LA Times, is off the table. It's been a horrible kept secret that Urban Meyer has designs on coaching the men of Troy. That Reggie Bush, who's had, what, his Heisman taken away from him, he hasn't quite been banned from campus Chris Webber in Ann Arbor style, but I was under the impression he was at least sort of persona non grata. I kind of thought, I guess not. I guess that's not the case. Reggie Bush openly telling the LA Times he and Matt Leinart, well, they're not quite Prince, but they want to make things like their 2004. Unbelievable that Bush and Leinart are going to openly campaign for Urban Meyer while USC has a sitting head coach. That should say a lot about how much they like said sitting head coach in Clay Helton. And how do you feel about this if you're Helton? Again, these are things that may and often do, I'm quite certain, go on behind closed doors. But wow, to come out and say that to one of the biggest rags in all of the land, especially the most prevalent one in that neck of the woods, to the LA Times, that's something a little different. And it shows you just how much pressure really could be applied to athletic departments in the modern day and age. It's no longer just fans in an uproar on social media. Your former players, your former greats, All-Americans, Heisman Trophy winners. By the way, both of those guys have that honor, Leinart and Bush, are publicly putting pressure on Clay Helton. Win this year or else. Now, here's how I'll relate this subject to a local matter. I wonder if Ed Ogeron, who I'm sure both of those guys have a decent amount of respect for, somebody who mentored for a while under Pete Carroll, their god out there in SC land. I wonder if Ed and Tommy Robinson and James Craig, I wonder if LSU plucking some of their best talent from the state of California has anything to do with this. They're watching and reading between the lines what's going on with recruiting. If the results on the field don't get any better, you better watch out. You don't need the big guns with money to come through. Bush and Leinart will take care of that with their own clout. Just found that interesting. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Dusty is with us. He wants to go in on the sink or swim question. All right, Dusty, are you pleased with the new Monday Night Football broadcast team?
Oh, my God, no. I'll put it in emphasis. They were trying to replace a man like John Gruden in the booth, first with Witten and now with Bookman? No. Y'all have all that talent on the pre-show of Monday Night Football that is 10 times better, like Charles Woodson or Randy Moss, and y'all going to put Bookman in the booth? No. In the world, in the words of Charles Woodson, come on, man.
Look, I got another thought to chase that. Dusty, you know I appreciate the call. Thank you, man. Let's get some more shots up. Call while you can. Smoke them if you got them, right? 706-0111. There has been, and I can't remember who said this, so my apologies, but I've seen this somewhere today. Somebody internally at the mothership described Booger McFarland as maybe a more refined version of Chuck Barkley. That is a mouthful, and I think it's a disservice to Barkley. Again, I grew up in Baton Rouge. I grew up watching Booger McFarland play LSU football. I followed his career to the Tampa Bay Bucks. I have followed what he's done entering my profession and what I do. I've got an immense amount of respect for Booger. He's a regular guest on radio programs throughout the South. The dude puts in work. He's opinionated. He doesn't mind backing it up. He was one of the guys who came out strongly against Les Miles. When not everybody who put on the purple and gold would do that, I've got tremendous respect for Booger McFarland. I don't know if he's paid his dues to get that spot. I don't know that he has those chops yet. He may prove that he does. He may become somebody that rivals Tony Romo. I'm just not ready to put my money on it yet. Romo is clearly a natural and was built for that. I don't know about Booger yet. And I really don't know if I like that more refined Charles Barkley comparison. Barkley is a gift to sports broadcasting television. Period. End of discussion. You don't always have to agree with his politics. He doesn't always throw them in your face. But if you go search deeply enough, you will find from about 3 months ago, it's all over Twitter. I'm sure you'll find it if you just Google search it. Barkley, on the record, but not on the air, talking about Anthony Davis. There are some words that are not suitable for work. I'm just telling you that in advance. It's one of the realest takes I've ever seen. And I didn't need that to know that Chuck is one of the realest guys there is doing it. But it was a damn good reminder. Barkley is television gold. I carry shows. I carry broadcasts. So I get the role that Ernie Johnson plays on Inside the NBA. Follow me on this parallel. I can very much identify with the role that EJ plays. He is incredible in his own right. But for my money, and from the time that I was in high school watching Charles Barkley do that show, it's incredible. And I would say that while there are complimentary pieces, Kenny the Jet Smith is one. EJ certainly drives the show as I drive this one. So, again, I get it. Charles Barkley, in my mind, is the reason that show wins Emmys on the reg. And so to say that Booger McFarland is kind of your next Charles Barkley, he's your more refined Charles Barkley, you'll have to excuse me if I'm not ready to dish out that kind of praise just yet. One thing I am willing to do is get to one final word in our 4 o'clock hour.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Turnstiles. LSU pitchers just keep going in and out of the turnstiles. In case you missed it, your big news of the day, Cole Henry, still not ready to pitch. He won't go this weekend at home against Ole Miss. Mikhail Hilliard, come on down and welcome back in. He's come out the turnstile and back into the weekend rotation. He'll start Friday at the box. And out of the rotation into the bullpen is Zach Hess. There's no question. That's where his calling card will be in Major League Baseball. He'll get a head jump on that. Paul Maneri saying today it's been agreed that Hess will make the move this weekend that they were hopeful that he would have been able to last weekend. And so your final word of the hour is turnstiles. It's brought to you by the Village Station. They are your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. They've got your non-ethanol gas and plenty of fresh meals made ready to go, plus pizza by the slice and the box. Don't want to cook? Don't have to. Just go to the Village Station. 9405 Maurice Avenue, right next door to the Dollar General. We're halfway home ourselves. Don't forget Tommy Moffitt at 5:30. We'll be right back in with Hour 2 of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Ben Love joined by the famous Clint D. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, taking you home on 1037 The Game. For the next hour, we got you from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. busy final hour of the program. Going to throw a little shade. Have a conversation with LSU strength and conditioning guru Tommy Moffitt, and then we'll hand the baton to Five Guys Stories and Lies at 6. We'll join Astro Launch Houston at Minnesota tonight. Colin McHugh on the bump. We will join Astro Launch in progress at 7 o'clock. That is where we're going. Here is where we are right now. I want to dive into a bit of a different conversation. Today is the 1st of May. I want to share, as we look out into the future, the most important things that will happen in the world of sports in May. You want to join us? Answer some of the things that we asked you in hour number one. You've got time, 706-0111. But, CD, let's start down this road for a minute. The most important things that will happen in the world of sports in May. I'll start with college baseball. One. We will learn LSU's postseason lot in life. Regional play begins Friday, May 31st. Two, and kind of adjacent, will UL win the Sun Belt Conference tourney? LSU will be in the field of 64. LSU will almost certainly be a regional host site. We'll learn if they're a national host site during the month of May. We'll know if their pitching is ready to stand up to that. And then on the UL side, their story is different. RPI is not saving anybody at this point. Winning the conference tournament outright in the regular season doesn't matter anymore, even if it's within reach. It's all about winning the conference tourney. Your take on those two?
Oh, trust me. With LSU, I think it's no doubt they're going to wind up being in the tournament, but this kind of sets you up for a lot of great things towards the tail end of the season. We're talking about, you have, again, Ole Miss this week, not exactly a barn burner on paper. I feel like this could be a good series for LSU to start hitting their stride in the month of May. I feel like that's definitely where LSU has started to really turn things around this over the past couple seasons.
And the Cajuns, first of all, have to make the Sun Belt Conference tournament before thoughts of winning it.
Exactly. You need to make the conference tournament. It's going to be tough because you got Coastal Carolina this weekend on the road in Conway, and you want to try and bookend that. You want to have a trip to Conway at the end of May, and this is going to be a step in the right direction if they win at least two out of three.
You want to join the conversation? Go ahead. We got more of these to roll out. 706-0111. In fact, we're heading out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. We have Hunter aboard. Hunter actually wants to answer our sink or swim question. Those that just got in the vehicle, are you pleased with the new Monday Night Football broadcast team? Joe Tessitore, Booger McFarland in the booth. Lisa Salter's back on the sideline. Hunter, does that do it for you?
I think he deserves a chance, you know. He proved that he can do his thing on the field. Why not let him see if he can prove what he can do in the booth?
My only response to that is I'm not sure that's the type of job that you should be allowed to cut your teeth in. That's all I'm going to say. The guy's got a lot of personality. He knows the game. This usually isn't one that's given to a first-timer in that role.
Right. It's just like the question, man. He can either sink or swim, you know?
No, that's fair. And I think he did a heck of a job given the circumstances in the Booger Mobile. Hunter, we appreciate the dial. And we have time for more. Again, 706-0111. I'll leave the Monday Night Football thing on the tarmac. You want me to take flight with it again? I will. But I went down that road with you a good bit in hour number one. Most important things, Clint, that'll happen in May in sports. LSU UL baseball. How about number three? We will line up our NBA Finals matchup. By the point of switching over from May to June, we'll probably be a few games in to the NBA Finals. Right now, the Warriors look like they're on a war path. Something tells me it's going to get weird and woolly in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's always going to wind up being a little wild and woolly in the Eastern Conference. Now that you don't have LeBron James kind of having a stranglehold over the entire conference, it's going to be fun to see what happens on that end.
Boston really is going to be the, to quote Tim Brando, you're flying the ointment. If they keep playing as they started in this postseason, look out.
But the Bucks are going to give them all kinds of hell. They gave them hell last night.
Yeah, but they're playing right now. And so it's one of those things where you get past it. Whew, I might take Boston over either Toronto or Philly. And yeah, they would have to go on the road for the first two games in either series. More of the most important things that will happen this month in sports. The Kentucky Derby is this Saturday. We're going to air it here on 103.7 The Game. It's the first leg of the Triple Crown. So you'll get to know a lot about just how much horse racing you'll be consuming. Because for many of us, and yeah, my hand's extending vertically right now, if there's not the possibility of a Triple Crown, I don't make it to the third leg. I'm sorry. That's just how I operate. I know in Acadiana, I'm probably in the minority there.
Yeah, I absolutely love the Kentucky Derby. All three races are always fun to watch. I want to see, and you know, I know you're a guy that wants to see the history be made of a Triple Crown winner, but I just want to see it last more than a couple of years now. Like, it's just that thing where I'm saying, you know, make it mean a little bit more whenever somebody wins Triple Crown rather than be like every couple of years or so.
All right, I mentioned the NBA. We'll know who's going to be in the finals, and then our man called in. Let's go find him aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken is with us. And, Ken, you want to talk Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I saw nothing in these two games that would convince me that they're going to beat the Warriors and win four straight games. I just don't see that at all. And the next series, when the Golden State plays Portland or Denver, that might be a sweep. I just see nobody beating the Warriors from looking at all these teams. Playing, I just don't see it.
Oh, I'd put my money on the Warriors as well. In fact, I'd probably give, you know, like 1-5 odds at this point just to make some kind of money off of it, right?
Right.
All right, Ken. I appreciate it. Clint, I mentioned the NBA Finals, and Ken called. And I agree with him, by the way. Rockets aren't winning 4 or 5. I mentioned the Kentucky Derby, and apparently that brought news to us.
Yeah, breaking news just kind of coming out. Favorite Omaha Beach has been scratched from the race and trapped epiglottis. I have no idea what the hell that is, but definitely don't sound good.
Where and what is an
epiglottis? And I'm hoping that's how I'm pronouncing it right.
Epiglottis. I'll let you do some WebMDing for horses real quick. Omaha Beach, the favorite in the Derby this Saturday, has been scratched. So if you've already laid down money there, hopefully that will be refunded. I would imagine that's how it works. Although I could tell you from tales in my past that if you give a future bet on a team with, say, LeBron James on it, he gets hurt, they still take your money. It doesn't matter. So hopefully it's not that way with Omaha Beach. I've got two more, Clint. I've got two more. We're opening up today's 5 o'clock hour. Most important things that will happen in sports this May. I think we'll get more definition on the future of LSU's basketball program. And in doing so, we'll learn more about Scott Woodward's M.O. Yes, the federal corruption trial concluded today. Yes, Christian Dawkins took the stand in his own defense. And Will Wade didn't really pop out of his mouth from everything I've read so far. Matt Norlander, Dan Wetzel, the guys that are there, Pete Thamel, I should have said, were boots on the ground. But Sean Miller sure was a popular target. And some of your news of the day, according to Christian Dawkins, actually it's more Book Richardson, I should say. The word on the street, if it's to be believed, is that DeAndre Ayton was getting about 10 grand a month from Sean Miller. So, again, I know because we had somebody call the show, and respect to my guy Little Johnny, by the way, last Thursday, but I know because multiple people stop and see me on the street, see me in the tap room, over in Rufino's on the river. I'm well aware that what I've been telling you on Will Wade is not going over swimmingly and that you don't like to hear it. Let's just see how it plays out. You'll notice I've stopped bopping you over the head with it. This thing is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. I don't think in any way, shape, or form that Wade, LSU, as is done. I think there are going to be more twists and turns of this. Not telling he's going to lose his job definitively, but you could probably tell by my tone, I think the needle is leaning in that direction. I'll leave that there, but I think this month we're sure as hell going to learn more about it. Otherwise, if there's doubt, Woodward can't let him go on. How can they recruit? How can they keep players? How can they keep assistants, for that matter? You'll notice they have a gap on the bench right now after Tony Benford left. So whether it's continuity with Wade or moving on from Wade, I have to imagine that the month of May brings this definition.
It better be, because, man, this has just been going on and on for what feels like 6 months, but it's only been about 2 months. It's time to kind of nip this in the bud and end the Will Wade saga once and for all.
If you're going to end it, it's time to end it. If you're not going to, okay.
But I'm saying at least.
Okay, I think you're going to bring some consequences upon your program if he stays, but that's just my opinion on the subject. Now, I'm sure you're going to tell me, Clint, that there's important UFC stuff going on in the month of May. Don't want to hear about it. What I'm going to do instead is ignore the MMA for now, because the big news with the MMA, especially locally, is with Daniel Cormier on August 17th. More about that later in the show. But right now, we're talking May, and so we're going out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Noted hoophead Frank wants to talk NBA. What you got, Frank?
You have transformed me. The only thing I see about the the end of May is that it gets us one month closer to football season. But I will get you to expound upon the question I posed to you, what was it, a week ago maybe? And that is, do you think that Golden State's run in these playoffs and finals is good or bad for basketball? And I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you, Ben.
You got it. This one's tough. I'm groomed as a sports writer and an opinion maker, and so I can absolutely write a thesis on both sides of this fence if I want to and make a compelling case. I don't think it's bad for basketball, but it would be better if there was a natural foil. That's how I feel. My honest take is that it was never bad for basketball when it was Lakers v. Celtics. That's because there was a natural foil, and it made sense, and it also made dollars and cents for the NBA, that one was on the West Coast, one was on the East Coast, both in massive markets. San Francisco is a pretty darn big market. I know they play in Oakland. They're getting a huge new arena. It's basically Northern California's team. I was up in the Bay Area recently. They have Warriors fever. Trust me. I was there in late December, early January. They're about some dubs up there. If there were the New York Knicks, if there were the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers that year in, year out threaten them, it would be a better situation. But I'm not going to tell you right now that it's a bad situation. I wish they hadn't hoarded the amount of talent that they were allowed to by NBA rules. I wish there's a little more disparity. So it's not a perfect situation. It doesn't make for a perfect association, Frank. But I'm not going to blame them and say that they are bad for basketball. We just need a little more natural foil, and that may be happening in the Eastern Conference. All right, we got to hit a break. We'll be right back in. Time to throw a little bit, if not a lot of bit, of shade. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
A weekly tradition on B2BS. The Humpty song, you could do a Humpty dance, and this is a hump day. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Clint, quickly, let's revisit something that broke during our first segment of this hour. Kentucky Derby favorite Omaha Beach is out, scratched, from this Saturday's Kentucky Derby. You gave me the 411 on why. I'll let you tell it again to our listeners, yeah. And you've also gone to HorseWebMD, and you can tell them what it is.
Yeah, it's he has a strained epiglottis, which is basically the flap in your throat that helps keep food from entering your windpipe and also your lungs. So that kind of wind up probably affecting your breathing a little bit as a horse, and especially with a race like that. I definitely think that was probably the right decision to make.
When you woke up this morning, did you think you'd be qualified to attempt horse racing color analysis? It's really what you just did.
No, I think
you described the difficulty that Omaha Beach would have in breathing, attempting to run a race like this. So you're qualified, apparently.
I guess. I mean, I'm sure.
You're the only one in this room, in the 237 Room Studios, who knows what an epiglottis is. Well, so I'm glad that you've informed me.
Thank you, HorseWebMD.com.
For the love of all that's holy, let's get to your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com, check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their professional installers. You can trust them inside your home. How important is that in 2019? And then trust them to beautify life outside your home. Management will also help you to create a vision, and then they'll fulfill it for you. And they could do it in time for this football season. They're ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
I don't know any other way to say this, so I'm just going to say it. I'm kind of ready for the Rockets-Warriors series to be over. More drama than good basketball. That's how I'd put it in a nutshell for you. And I'm not going to doubt that James Harden was scratched across his eyes, bleeding in both eyes, suffered a laceration on his left eyelid. But he told reporters after the most recent game in the Bay that he could barely see. After getting hit in his eyes, he really couldn't see all that much. He's incredibly sensitive to light. Look, I'm not doubting that any of that is true. Maybe here's the way that I'll steer the conversation. I think I'm ready for there to stop being press conferences involving players, coaches, and even management ownership of the Rockets and the Warriors. Before this thing even started, we got the Warriors report that they got jobbed in Game 7 and they were cost a trip last year to the NBA Finals. That's before this thing even started. Well, that sets one heck of a tone, doesn't it? What have we gotten since then? More from James Harden saying, all I'm asking is that you officiate the game the way it's supposed to. That's all I'm asking. And yet, every breakdown of the numbers I've seen so far says that more fouls have been called against Golden State than for them through two games in this year's playoff matchup. I know, it was all the rage last year. The Rockets had the Warriors down 3-2. They had them down in Game 7 at halftime, and it didn't matter. Kerr and the Warriors did what Kerr and the Warriors do. This year, it's 2-love. I think I'm actually rooting for it to get to 4-love. And I don't really have anything against Houston per se. I just don't want any more drama with my basketball. If we could cut some of that sizzle off of the steak, that'd be preferred. If I could just get the damn steak, that would be great. But with the Warriors and the Rockets, it just never quite seems to be that way. And I mentioned earlier in the show, the old school rivalry had it in the, what, the 60s, the 80s. We had a little rendition of it in the late aught decade. Celtics versus Lakers. You can have some sizzle. You can have some drama if there's enough substance, if there is enough stake. This series doesn't have that. That's why I'm all good in the hood with it just dying away and going softly into the night.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Just the way that I feel. The NBA playoffs, they have long been my close friend. I have watched the NBA playoffs every year that I can remember being old enough to. This one's not my favorite matchup, and I thought it was going to be. Maybe it's always sweeter when we get it in the conference finals as opposed to the conference semifinals. But this time around, yeah, just a little bit too much of a sideshow. And speaking of that sideshow, we'll let you hear a little bit. I mentioned that injury to James Harden. Well, somebody on the other side, Draymond Green, spoke out a little bit. Here's Draymond Green on James Harden's eye injury.
We were fighting for a rebound, and I made a mistake and hit him in his eye. Just check on him. You know, it's not about hurting anybody out here. I think so many times people forget, you know, when a guy have an injury, you live that every day, every second of every day. It's not just about this game. So if his eye is messed up, he got to live that every day. And so just want to check on the guy. Cause at the end of the day, it's bigger than basketball when it comes to injuries.
And I know you'd probably like me to take that low-hanging fruit and throw shade at Draymond Green. I actually believe him here. He's not going after people's eyes. This guy goes after a part of the body that's substantially lower on the male anatomy, and he's doing that part on purpose every single time, every single freaking time. Just like the kid from Duke a couple of years ago. Just like the biter from whatever country it is. I think, Clint, I used to be a soccer head.
Luis Suarez. I believe he's from Spain.
And that's not correct.
Okay.
No. Not even close. Pretty sure he is from Argentina. I would think somewhere in South America. So
that's probably right.
Already we've had to tackle epiglottis, and so we'll go after Luis Suarez and his origins here sooner than later. But I believe Dre Green. I don't think he's going for the eyelids on purpose. All right, we got to hit our halfway break in hour number two. On the other side, fired up to welcome back in to B2BS, Tommy Moffitt. Get ready to talk LSU spring football, what he saw, and what he's excited about as he gets in the freshman, integrates them with the veterans, LSU summer workouts. Tommy Moffitt when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Getting back to business. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And you're listening live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Time to take a trip down to Baton Rouge aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Great to bring back the Director of Strength and Conditioning at LSU, Tommy Moffitt. Coach, welcome aboard. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
I'm always excited to get your perspective on what spring football was like. And I know that yours is maybe different from some of the position coaches, the coordinator, the head coach. When you saw a couple of early enrollees kind of mixed in with the veterans, what were your impressions?
Well, I thought as a whole, the team has been outstanding since January, since we first started training. And it all culminated with a great spring, lots of effort, lots of enthusiasm, lots of energy every day at practice, and probably – if you took all of the Saturday scrimmages and put them together, I would say probably one of the most productive springs we've had since I've been here.
When you look at Joe Burrow and coming back from some nicks and bruises last year, what's going to make him more adept and able to become even more of a runner for LSU football this season?
Yeah, well, you know, so Joe, Joe's a tough, hard worker, but he's also a tough football player. And, you know, Joe kind of throws his body around, you know, like a defensive player. And so he's going to take some bumps and bruises. But Joe adapts well. He heals fast. And he's a hard worker. And I mean, since the last day of spring ball, Joe has hit the weights hard. He's working out twice a day, you know, and our goal is to put on some more muscle mass. Cause Joe's a smart kid. You know, he's from a football family, and he knows he's going to have to pack on some extra muscle mass. So he's called. He wants more. He's wanting to do extra. He's working out twice a day. He's doing all the extra he can possibly do. And our goal is for him to pack on, you know, at least 10 pounds of lean muscle, in the month of May before he even reports in June. And so hopefully, you know, Joe weighs in for training camp at, you know, 225-230 pounds. That's our goal, and then he's going to sweat some of that off, you know, during training camp, and we're hoping that he goes into the season at, you know, 217, 220, and maintains that, you know, throughout the season. And that added muscle mass is going to increase his durability and hopefully keep him in one piece for the whole season. But Joe, you're not going to find another guy on our team that works as hard and as physically and emotionally tough as Joe Burrow. There's not one.
Tommy Moffitt of LSU football, good enough to join us on 103.7 The Game. I'll ask you about a defender next. Caleb Vaughn Chaisson, what would you tell our listeners about his progression, his recovery from injury?
Yeah, so Caleb Vaughn has done phenomenal. Now, Caleb Vaughn is a lot like Joe, man. Caleb Vaughn wanted to, you know, he wanted to go through practice for the bowl game. He wanted to practice and felt like he could play. And we all know that he couldn't, but he wanted to. He could have gone through spring, but they held him out to make sure. Caleb Vaughn has been in the weight room every day. This is their discretionary week. You know, it's finals week, and We give him some downtime, and Kayvon's been in there every day. He works his tail off, loves the weight room. You know, you have some guys that lift weights and do their strength training because they have to. And then there's other guys, you got to make them do it. And then there's guys that love it. And Kayvon is one of those guys like Joe Burrow that loves every bit of the process. And so, you know, our goal is to have him to at least 245 pounds. He was 240 the other day. He's really done a good job of putting on some extra upper body strength and weight while he was out. You know, and his lower body is really strong and stout. You know, so Kayvon, I think, is going to come into the season heavier than he's ever been, and as strong and as fast as he's ever been. And I look to see him have a great season.
Coach, is there any one thing you would pinpoint that gets you the most excited to work with Derek Stingley Jr.?
Yeah, so Derek is game ready, man. He came to us game ready. His father did a phenomenal job, and Coach Weiner at Dunham. But, you know, he's physically mature, and, you know, and his dad's a big man, too. But Derek is physically mature and was game ready as a freshman. You know, some guys mature later than others, but physically, man, Derek is very mature and has a good training age. You know, we get guys that's never touched a barbell, so their training age is very young. And then you get guys that have trained since they were, you know, eighth, ninth graders, and they have an older, you know, the chronologically, they're not that old, but they have, you know, a higher training age, and he's mature physically, and he's a pro. He looks you in the eye. He listens. You know, his disposition is a lot like Patrick Peterson's was, you know, when it came to training and his preparation. He's very mature and very meticulous about that. He doesn't talk a lot. You know, he's low-key. You know, he just comes in and he works. You know, some guys come in and, you know, they like to talk to everybody. And it's, you know, and you got to keep them focused. But this guy here, man, he doesn't talk a lot. He comes in. He gets his work done. He's always doing extra. You can count on him doing extra all the time. And he's been a joy to work with.
When you get the rest of the freshmen, transfers, when they all come in, Coach, during the summer, is there a particular moment, could even be a particular drill, where normally you say, okay, this is where I'm going to see who the men and the boys are, at least to start? Is there a moment where they hit that wall?
Well, so the first thing that we do, you know, the first hard thing that they do is our warm-up. And, you know, we've had guys tap out on the jog down and back. And you know, and we've sent them, so they receive today. Most of them receive them today. The rest of them will receive them tomorrow, their last assignment that we have sent them. So we've sent them three different programs throughout this process. And so they get that last assignment either today or tomorrow. And, you know, we were very clear in that, you know, they have no option but to come to Baton Rouge in shape and ready to go. Some of those guys roll the dice. It never fails. So we're going to find out the very first day in the warm-up who did their work and who didn't do their work. And it's critical for the guys that want to play as freshmen. They have to come to Baton Rouge and be in shape and be ready to go. If not, they're going to spend the entire summer in training camp trying to survive. And you can't do that if you want to play and play early. You got to show up to Baton Rouge in June and be in great shape. So the first warm-up that we do, we find out immediately who's done their work and who hasn't. And there's no excuse. We send them workout manuals, DVDs. We send them email links. We text them. We do everything that we can possibly do to educate them on what they're supposed to do. So we find out quick who's done it and who hasn't. And then after that, it's hang on.
What has your introduction to the new offensive passing game coordinator, Joe Brady, been like? And your thoughts on what he brings to this organization?
Yeah, so Joe, first of all, Joe's a great guy, man. He fits into our staff really well. If you're not a high-energy guy, you're not going to survive very long. And that doesn't matter if you're a player or a coach. You better be a high-energy guy on this staff. We've got a staff full of guys that work hard. They're enthusiastic. They fly around just like the players. And Joe fit in great, man. Joe's a high-energy guy. He's young. He got to know the players real quick. They respect him immensely. You know, heck, this guy came from the New Orleans Saints, arguably probably the most potent offense in the NFL, and it's been like that for a while. And so anytime you have somebody that's worked with Curtis Johnson and Sean Payton and Drew Brees and the rest of those guys, you can't help but be great dialed in. Curtis Johnson, wide receiver coach for the Saints, I got to work with Curtis at Miami, and I think Curtis is one of the finest position coaches, assistant coaches that I've ever been around. And so for Joe to be surrounded by guys like him and the rest of their staff and their strength staff, you know the guy's going to produce. And he's been phenomenal to work with. You know, he's a pro. I mean, that's all there is to it. The guy's a pro. And the players respect him. And it's been very good. The way our offense has produced and the way they go about coaching it and teaching it, and the way, you know, Coach Ensminger, you know, he's no nonsense. He's Mr. No Nonsense. And so when you have somebody, it doesn't matter if it's Tommy Robinson or James Craig or a new analyst that, you know, so we've been able to do so much with our staff because there's so much that goes into college football now with recruiting and you know, it's not line up and two tight ends and I formation and pound the ball at you anymore. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on out there. So with the analysts that we have now and the position coaches that we have now, their preparation and what they're able to do for the players, you know, on a daily basis from the time the guys pick their iPad up in the morning until they put their iPad down at night, the amount of information and the data and the analytics is off the chart. And college football now is what pro football was 5 years ago. And so the product that we're going to be able to put on the field this year, both offensively and defensively, is going to be unbelievable.
Finishing a great conversation with Tommy Moffitt, LSU Director of Strength and Conditioning. Your son Clay plays for the LSU baseball team. Coach, what would your observations be of the way that youth pitchers, before they even get to the collegiate ranks, are used and maybe how that affects things in college, in the pros? It's been a big storyline at LSU, yeah, across the country. Your two cents.
Yeah, so, you know, I had two boys that, you know, played baseball from the time they were, I guess, 8 years old and through high school. And this is Kurt Ainsworth and Joe Lawrence, you know, two of the guys that work at Marucci now, and Brad Cressy. Brad lived behind us, so when the boys were young, they would cross the ditch behind the house and go do hitting lessons with Brad. And all those guys told me and Jill and the boys from the time they were eight that you only have so many bullets in the gun. And, you know, you use them and you lose them. And early specialization and year-round, I'm not a big believer in early specialization and year-round baseball. I'm just not. I've seen it firsthand, and it's not good. And, you know, people tell you over and over and over again that, you know, you got to let your kids play multiple sports. And if not, you know, and here's the thing that I used to tell my boys is, let's say, for instance, you focus just on baseball or your football. Let's say you can't make it. You're not good enough to play. Then you got nothing to fall back on. And growing up as kids, Clay was a football player. Clay loved football. And Aaron loved baseball. Aaron would have quit football in a heartbeat just to play baseball. and Clay would have quit baseball. And the only reason he played baseball, Clay, is because all of his buddies played. But Clay had some injuries, and it didn't work out right for Clay. And then, you know, same thing, Aaron hurt his elbow swinging a bat and wasn't able to play baseball anymore. So, you know, they weren't able to do the things that they thought that they were going to do as they grew older. So had they not had something to fall back on, then neither one of them would be doing something that they love, and that's competing at a high level. And the next thing is there's so much pressure put on young kids today about, you know, getting a college scholarship and being great. And it's all about participation. It's about going out there and being part of something that's bigger than what you are. And the thing, I remember when Clay was a little kid, and he wanted to quit baseball because it wasn't fun anymore and he wasn't any good at it. And I had coaches say that if Clay's going to throw the shot put, he needs to throw the shot put. If he's going to swim, he needs to swim. But he can't do it all. And I told Clay, I said, Clay, buddy, you just want to, you know, you want to participate. And mom and dad and your aunts and uncles, nobody cares if you're any good at it, you know, and it doesn't matter, you know. But we just want you to be a part of a team and go out there and compete and do the best you can. And, you know, here he is today, you know, playing college baseball, you know. And if I would have let him quit when he was 12 because his buddies were quitting and they all wanted to just play football, then, you know, he'd just be a regular guy, a regular student. And there's nothing wrong. You know, sooner or later you find out that you're not as good as what you thought you were, you know. But I'm a big believer in kids playing multiple sports, not throwing the baseball year-round. I read a book, it's called The Arm, because Clay tore his UCL. Clay had two, they thought Clay's problem in his arm was a nerve impingement. So he had the ulnar nerve moved in his elbow because it wasn't, they couldn't tell that the UCL was torn. And then finally we did an MRI with a contrast and they found out that he had a torn UCL. So I read the book. It's called The Arm, and it's about the Tommy John procedure. And there's statistics in the book that show an increase in elbow injuries with the more kids play baseball. And so it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. It's the world that we live in today, and that's the way it happens. But high-level sports with Dr. James Andrews, the doctor in Gulf Breeze, Florida, everybody knows Dr. Andrews. So one of his deals is that kids train with weights more today than what they used to. And when you generate so much force with your lower body, you know, because kids are so much stronger than they are and they have so much more better technique, the greater forces that you generate, then something in the kinetic chain is going to break down. The weakest link always breaks down. And so Dr. Andrews said the worst thing that you could possibly do for your arm is to throw a baseball. You know, and here we got kids are squatting and you know, doing plyos and sprinting and developing their lower bodies and their upper bodies, and they're putting out forces that the human body is just not capable of performing repetitively over time. And so I don't think there's one answer. I don't think you can put your finger on one thing. I know this. I know that my son could not play for a better pitching coach and a better baseball coach. And the medical staff at LSU, Corey Couture, Travis Roy, those people, I know, I see it with my own eyes how hard they work, you know, and they couldn't be working for a better person. It's just one of those things, man. You know, at LSU, you know, in football, we go through periods where we have a thing of hamstrings, and then we end up having a bunch of shoulders and knees. And, you know, things come in waves, but there couldn't be a better pitching coach in America than Alan Dunn, because I know how passionate he is about what he does and how meticulous he is about the throwing programs and preparation. It's just that it's unfortunate, and it's college sports, man. College sports. It's like NASCAR. You you build him up, you make him as fast and as sleek as you could possibly get him, and you take him out on the weekends, and you run him as hard as you can, and you wreck him, and then you put him back in the shop, and you build him up again, and you go out on the weekend, and you run him as fast as you can, and you bang him up and wreck him, and then you go into the off season and build him up again and make him as fast as you can. And that's a harsh, analogy, but that's really the way it is.
Coach, I can't tell you how much I enjoy our conversations. This one, no exception. Thank you for doing this today. We look forward to catching up again maybe later this summer.
You're very welcome, Ben. Thanks for having us on, and go Tigers.
What an analogy that was to end. A lot to unpack in that conversation. We'll do it to end today's show. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Nothing short of fantastic. I know we went long there. We went deep. I loved every second of it. Hopefully you did as well. Great interview with Tommy Moffitt. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in, and we'll finish up quickly on 103.7 The Game. That's as detailed and systemic of an answer as you're going to find, I believe, when it comes to what's going on with LSU's pitching staff, and it's happening across America. I know it comes in waves, as he said. Look at Mississippi State last year, and still they made it all the way to and large part of the way through Omaha. But that was great, not just with the LSU pitching side of things, and he's got a decent purview there, but Joe Burrow, one of the toughest guys on the team. We knew that. You got a little more detail into just how so. Caleb Von Chaisaw wanted to practice before the bowl, wanted to practice in the spring. Projects that he'll be back. And Derek Stingley Jr., not going to be a shocker to anyone, game ready. Big-time program today. Have to thank Tommy Moffitt as well as Steve Kuyler. And we had a lot of different things that we introduced today. LSU pitching, it's the three H's. Henry out this weekend, Hess to the bullpen, and Hilliard will start on Friday. Introduced to you the idea that the Saints will not be claiming the fifth-year option for Eli Apple. This will be his final season, and then he'll be a free agent. Introduced the things that are going to happen this May that are important in sports, and introduced a new partner here on B2BS. And that's our friends at Relief Windows. We got a lot more on all those topics and more. We'll get to and resume tomorrow live from the Taproom River Ranch. Friday, I'll be at Rufino's on the River. So goodbye, 237 Roof Studios, until Monday. For the famous Clint D, I'm Ben Love. And this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Five Guys, Stories and Lies are next. And the Astros at the Twinkies after that.